I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. God, please add your blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Julia. Let me ask you something. Are you a generous person? Do you believe that you're a generous person? And if so, in what ways are you generous? Because there are many ways to be generous. Generosity is a very important part for us individually as well as communally. Think about it. Harvey, Irma, Maria, hurricanes, earthquakes, and people come together and are generous and send food and money to help rebuild. Generosity is very important, but I'm afraid that on an individual basis, it's declining. So many of us don't want to be generous. Or we only want to be generous in one way, but not necessarily the other. And that raises a lot of questions, especially if you're living in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus calls us to be generous, does he not? Is that not what we're hearing here? Is generosity? I'm going to tell you a little story, and you can check this out. True story. It's a wonderful story, and I think all of us need to be aware of this. But there were two students at Stanford University. These two students found that they were running short on money and they weren't sure they're going to be able to finish college. So they came up with this brilliant idea. And they said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite the great pianist Paderewski to come and play. And the funds that we receive from him playing will go toward our tuition and board." Great plan. So they call, and Paderewski's manager says, "Okay, but you have to guarantee the great master $2,000. They said, "No problem." So Paderewski went, and he played, and the boys raised $1,600. Not quite what they thought. So after it, they go to Paderewski, and they say, "I'm sorry, sir. Here's $1,600 and an IOU for the other $400. We didn't get what we thought we'd get. Paderewski said, "That won't do. here's what you're going to do. He handed them back the money. He said, out of that $1,600, take your expenses. So they did. Then he says, what's left, take 10% for each of you. And they did. And he says, now give me the rest. And he left. Later, for those of you who know the history of this great master, he went back to his homeland of Poland and became the premier. World War I. The Russians had come into Poland and taken all their food and everything else, so the Polish people were starving, and Paderewski is the premier. He doesn't know what to do. He can't feed his people. And suddenly, tons and tons of food start coming into Poland. He feeds the people. He makes sure they get fed. Then he journeys to Paris to thank the person who sent it. Well, Woodrow Wilson had appointed Herbert Hoover as the American Relief Administration head. So he goes to Paris and he walks up to Herbert Hoover and he says, sir, I want to thank you. You saved my people. You sent all that food. That's the most wonderful gift. And Hoover said, you're welcome. You probably don't remember me, but you helped me when I was at Stanford and couldn't afford to pay you everything. I was in a hole and you helped me. Generosity. Generosity, it starts kindness. Kindness will come out of your generosity. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Be generous. If you're generous, then you're going to have a better life. Because all kinds of kindness will come out of that generosity. So, let's look at our scripture again. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he sent them and said to them, go, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon, about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. 5 o'clock. And he said to them, why are you standing here idly all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. Now I'm going to ask you, what do you think was the motivation of the vineyard? The landowner, the man who owned this great vineyard, what was his motivation for sending them out to work? Did he think, maybe if I give them a job at the end of the day, they're going to come back and they're going to say, you know, don't pay us. We're just glad you gave us something to do. Is that why he did it? Or did he do it because, well, down the road, I'm going to go back to them and ask them for a favor? What was his motivation? Not all of us are motivated by unselfish acts. Some of us are very selfish and we do things because we figure we're going to get something in return. That's not a good way to be. That's certainly not the way our Lord said that we should be. Go out and be good to everybody because you can get stuff from them. That never happened. I'm going to tell you another little story, and I want you to think about this one. There was a businessman. He had his staff around him. And the staff was talking about generosity. And so the businessman said, you know what? If one of you can show me a truly unselfish act, I'll give you $100. One of the staff members said, I can. All right, show me. He said, well, you'll have to go with me at lunchtime. Okay, we'll do that. So at lunchtime, the employee, the staff member, takes his boss where most of the homeless people hang out. And he looks at his boss and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick someone, anyone, whoever you want, just pick them. Boss looks around and he says, that guy right there. It was an old man. Guy walks over, the employee walks over to him and says, "Here you go," and hands him a $10 bill. Turns to the guy and says, "Now that was an act of generosity. Where's my $100? The boss was about to get a little unhappy. But before he could, the old man turned to his friends and he said, "Hey guys, I have a tenner. Let's go get something to eat." The boss said, "Interesting. What you did was selfish. You gave 10 to get 100. What that old man did was unselfish, generous. So I guess you deserve the 100 because I did see an actual pure act of generosity, of unselfishness." The employee was ashamed because he realized he really did it for selfish reasons. So he took the 100, walked over to the old man, handed it to him and said, "Have a real party." That act of the old man promoted kindness and generosity to that young employee, that staff member who saw what true generosity was. The old man could have kept the 10 for himself, but he didn't. He wanted to help others. That's an act of generosity. That's unselfish. And when we give out of selfish motivation, we're not living the life of Jesus Christ. We're not living a Christ-like life. So the moral of the story is unselfishness generates even more acts of kindness. And hasn't our Lord called us to be kind to one another? Shouldn't we be kind? But generosity can be shown in many ways. Doesn't have to be money. All too often we like to think that generosity has to be with giving money to people, but it's not. Sometimes generosity can be giving your time. Generosity can be saying a compassionate word to someone that perhaps you don't want to be compassionate with. Generosity is in giving your feeling, your true attention to someone who is talking. You know how some people, when you talk to them, they're sitting there and they're going, "Yeah, I hear you, whatever," and they never really hear what you're saying. But if you're really paying attention, you're being generous. Because you're showing them that you care what they're saying. You care about them and what's going on. Now, random acts of kindness. Have you ever heard that term? You know, I told you a few weeks ago that I had worked with a foster care business. And in this foster care business, there were 7 social workers, and I had my office in that building. And a very interesting thing began to happen around there. Once a week, sometimes more, one of the social workers would receive a gift. They'd go to lunch, they'd come back, there'd be a gift. Or they might just go to the restroom, and they come back, and there's a gift. But the gift had something to do with them. If the employee liked a particular candy, there might be a candy bar and a card saying thank you for all that you do. And then another time, somebody may have lost a family member, and there's a card, and there's words of encouragement in a little booklet. Whatever it is, these people were receiving gifts, and they were important gifts because they were uplifting and supportive. But no one knew who was doing it. I came in, just happened to be there one day, and I'm kind of quiet when I enter a building, so the person who was doing it didn't know I was there. And I saw her go into an office with a gift and a card. I always suspected it was her, but I wasn't sure. So I hid when she came out so she wouldn't see me, and I snuck out another door. The next week, I came back armed. I had a card, and I had a flower arrangement. And she went off to lunch, and when she was gone, I put it on her desk. And when she came back, she was shocked. I'm sure she's thinking, who knows? How did this person know? But on the card, all I said is thank you for being generous. You've changed the lives of many, and not the least of which was mine. God bless you. No signature. She went all through that building trying to find out who left that gift for her. No one knew. And that's the way it should be. Because when we do acts of kindness, when we do random acts of kindness, when we do any kind of kindness, it's not about getting credit. It's not about getting credit. It's about being there for someone else. It's about supporting them. It's about uplifting them. It's about letting them know that they're cared about. But we're not in the business of getting credit. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Nothing our Lord Jesus Christ did was to get credit. And we all know that he didn't. And they nailed him to a cross. If you're a generous person, the question you must ask yourself is, what's my motivation? Why am I being generous? Am I being generous because I want something, or am I being generous because that's what the Lord Jesus calls me to do? Let's go back to the landowner. Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Envy, there's a word for you. Most of us in this sanctuary, if not all of us, have either seen envy in someone, or we've actually experienced envy when someone was envious of us, or it may be us who was envious. But it causes us to do horrible things. When we're envious, we're not generous. When we're envious, we're not loving and giving. It's really important that we understand that envy has nothing to do with generosity. What is your motivation? Envious. Envy is a horrible. There's a story. Here's another story for you. You love stories? There's an eagle. And this eagle hates this other eagle because it can fly higher and fly better than he can. So this eagle flies down, he sees a hunter, and he says, hey, why don't you kill that guy up there? Kill him. The hunter says, well, I would, but all I have is a bow and arrow, and I have no feathers for my arrow. The eagle says, no problem. Pulls a feather out of his wing, says, here you go. Hunter puts the feather in his arrow, he shoots. He can't get that high. He says, well, he's flying too high. Well, try again. So the eagle pulls another feather, and he pulls another feather, and he pulls another feather, and the guy just can't reach the eagle because he's flying too high. And finally, the hunter realizes that the eagle that's next to him has pulled so many feathers out he can't fly, so he turns and kills him. That's what envy does. You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble when it becomes being envious. So what happens? The landowner comes and he says, I'm giving to you and to you and to you. I'm giving all the same. And someone actually complained about how generous he was. About how he was generous. When you're generous, do you want someone to come to you and complain? Hey, I saw that you gave somebody some money. How come you haven't given it to me? Oh, I noticed that you baked a cake and took it next door. You know, we actually used to do that when we get new neighbors. People used to bake something and take it to the neighbor and welcome them to the community. That rarely happens. Laura does that. We get a new neighbor. She bakes a cake or some cookies. She takes it to them, and they nearly fall over. But that's the way she was raised. That's what you do. But I assure you that's rare nowadays. People don't always do that. But can you imagine a neighbor across the street who's lived there for 20 years saying, I saw you give them cookies, why didn't you give me any? Because you've been here 20 years, they just moved here. But these laborers who complained because the guy was kind and generous and gave them all the same, was envious. They only worked an hour, I've worked eight, give me more. It's not what we're called to do. So what does Jesus say? If you are envious of others, the one you will hurt the most by your actions is yourself. He says, look at this parable. Listen to my words. Generosity is important. We need to be generous. And if you can't be generous totally, then keep in mind the last will be first and the first will be last. God has given each of us our own special gifts and talents. Each one of us in this sanctuary have our own special gifts and talents. There is no reason to be envious of anyone else. If we celebrate what we have, then we shouldn't have a problem celebrating everyone else's talents and gifts. And so Jesus tells this parable. And he says, for those who have ears to hear, listen. Just be generous. Generosity. It's at the heart of the gospel. Our Lord was generous with his life. May we be as generous in our lives. Let us pray. Our loving God, we come before you today knowing that all too often we are not generous enough. And we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that we may go forth and be generous, that we may look around at others and know that all are worthy in your eyes of our generosity. May we be the disciples that you have called us to be, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.